the message of the cross is folly, foolishness
to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Whenever sin is minimized, the cross is trivialized. The cross of Christ is the only symbol that points us to where we can have the stain of sin, the guilt of sin, the punishment of sin totally removed.
Next on Leading the Way.
I just won't speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Sing it out, church. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Oh, 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 oh. Shout Jesus from the mountains.
Sing this one more time.
I just want to speak the name.
I think most of you will agree with me that in our lifetime, certainly I know in my lifetime, there has been no time when the cross of Christ has been more abused and misused, have been undermined and ignored, has been rejected and despised. Yet the power of the cross is truly beyond human understanding. I'm going to try to bring three messages on the folly or the foolishness and the power of the cross. I'm not creative to come up with that title. The Apostle Paul did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the Apostle Paul said, "For the message of the cross is folly or foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. And so during this short series, I will be talking about the enduring power of the cross. I'm going to show you the cross in the past, that's in the Old Testament, the cross in the present, that's the New Testament, the cross in the future. I will begin by explaining the power of the cross for all who have placed their only hope, their only faith, their only trust for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must never, 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 never forget that the cross was not an afterthought in God's mind, that the cross was not a good idea at the time, that the cross did not just happen because the Romans decided to crucify Jesus. Why? Because the cross was the plan of God before the foundation of the earth. The cross was in the plan of God before creation. And in order to comprehend this, we're going to need to understand why so many are trivializing the cross. Here's a formula. I don't do formulas very often in my preaching, but every now and again, because I need you never to forget this, I come up with a little formula. Here's the formula that operates in all societies, in all times, throughout history. It is like this. Whenever sin is minimized, the cross is trivialized. Let me repeat this. Whenever sin is minimized, the cross is trivialized. Can you say it with me? Whenever sin is minimized. Beloved, listen to me. Sin and the cross go together. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot understand one without the other. You cannot comprehend the enormity of sin without understanding the awesomeness of the cross. The cross is the only cure to sin. And that is why you will hear them preach something like this. The power is in the tongue. The power is in the words you utter. Really? Not in the cross? No. The power is in self-affirmation. I am. I am. I am. The power is in self-actualization. The power is in the positive thoughts. And when you have positive thoughts, positive things happen to you. Trivializing the cross. Why? Because they minimize sin. The natural result of this trivialization of the power of the cross is basically handing the power to whom? To me. To you. You, you, you. It's all about you. It is not. I got news for you. Now I go back to explaining what I said earlier, namely, that the cross of Christ did not happen in a vacuum. The cross of Christ is the plan of God for salvation before the creation of the world. The cross was God's answer to humanity's sin and rebellion before man ever sinned in the Garden of Eden. From the very beginning of creation, God instituted the shedding of blood in the Garden of Eden, an innocent lamb that had to be slain in order to cover Adam and Eve's sin. But that's not all. God was showing them that this is a foreshadowing, of the cross of Christ, where the innocent, most innocent lamb of all is going to hang one day. From the very beginning of creation, God foreknew what would happen to his creation. God foreknew that Adam and Eve would go their own way, not God's way. And that is why the first act of redemption in the Garden of Eden was the substitutionary sacrifice for sin. I know, I know, I know, I know the age-old question, but why? God could not minimize the enormity of Adam and Eve's sin. But not only that, God wanted Adam and Eve to know and to teach the subsequent generation that animal sacrifice is the prefiguring of the cross of Christ. God wanted them to teach the subsequent generation to anticipate the sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice of all. He wanted them to know that sin is costly, that sin cannot be taken lightly by God, that sin is a colossal offense to a holy, righteous God. And that is why, from Abraham to Moses to the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, animal sacrifice were offered. The innocent blood was shed for a guilty sinner. An innocent blood was shed for man's sin. And that is why after Christ's cross, no animal sacrifice were allowed. And again, the old age, old question, why? Animal sacrifice could never permanently remove sin. Only temporary. It was not a permanent answer. God instituted animal sacrifice for three reasons. First of all, He did it so that they realize how costly, when they spend that money to offer that sacrifice, it reminds them that this is only temporary, but that's not all. It also reminds them, as they spend that colossal amount of money, how expensive that sacrifice is, how dreadful sin is to God. And finally, it will remind them every time they offer the colossal sacrifice that they are worshiping a holy and righteous God who cannot wink at sin. It reminded them also that it's a pre-shadowing of the cross of Christ. You and I must see things from God's perspective. Just see it from God's eye. See it from God's perspective. From God's point of view, His justice must prevail. His justice must prevail. If His justice has to prevail, then sin must be dealt with. Justice says sin and guilt has to be dealt with. That's why always the justice of God and the love of God are two sides of the same coin. The rebellion against God's word must find permanent answer. And that is why on the cross, God Himself, the most innocent blood of all, paid for the sin and the guilt and rebellion of every repentant person on the face of the earth. On the cross, God paid the price so that anyone, anywhere would come to Him confessing their sin. They'll be set free from the clutches of sin and guilt. Look with me at Genesis 3:21. Genesis 3:21. When God said to Adam and Eve, do this and don't do this. Do this, don't do that. That's what's simple, right? Listen, you couldn't be a parent without understanding that. And you understand the temptation of the kids. The moment you say, don't do this, that's what they want to do. That's what we inherited from Adam and Eve, right? And that is why when they said, no, I know that's what God said, but we're going to go this way. We're going to do it our way. God brought a temporary covering of a lamb's skin to cover their sin, cover the nakedness that became aware of after sin. Now, a question. Did Adam and Eve understood what God is doing? Absolutely. Absolutely they did. And that is why they taught it to their boys, Cain and Abel. They taught them the sacrifice, the importance of sacrifice, and what God did for them. And they told them to obey God because that's the prefiguring of the cross. One obeyed, the other one didn't. And from that time on, all of humanity is divided into two groups, the Abelites and the Cainites. Not the Canaanites, the Cainites from Cain and Abel. Those who follow in the tradition of Abel's obedience and those who follow in Cain's tradition of disobedience. People all over the world, whenever they hear the message of the cross preached, they are divided into two groups, those who gratefully receive it and those who arrogantly reject it. People the world over respond in only two ways to salvation. Embrace it at the cost of their life. And then there are others who arrogantly reject it in the way of Cain. See, Cain and Abel are the microcosm of all of humanity. The Abelites come to God God's way. The Cainites want to come to God their way, my way. God said, there is only one way for anyone to come to his heaven, and that is through the shed blood of his son Jesus on that cross. All of Cain's followers are teaching that you can worship God your way, that you can come to God your way. You don't like this narrow-mindedness of one way. You don't like this old-fashioned message of the cross. You don't like this exclusivity of coming to God God's way. Oh, God has many ways. The way of Cain. The way of who? The way of who? It is no wonder that in Genesis 4, verses 4 and 5, God said that he looked with favor upon Abel's sacrifice. Don't miss this, okay? Don't miss this. But on Cain's offering, did you get the difference? Raise your hand. Did you get the difference? He looked with favor on Abel's sacrifice, but on Cain's offering, he did not look with favor. And that is why, my beloved friends, in the New Testament, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, it speaks of all who come to God through the cross of Christ are Abel-like obedience. Let me read it to you from Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. Why is it better? We don't know if the fruit of the land might be even more expensive than the animal sacrifice, right? I mean, maybe even worth more money. But that's not the issue. You can't buy your salvation. The issue is, are you coming to God God's way? Worshiping God God's way is the shedding of innocent blood. And this is the way it is from the very beginning. That is why I say to you, the cross is past, the cross is present, the cross is future. Let me make sure that you understand what I'm trying to say here. The Bible said God made all of humanity of one blood, one family. And that is why Adam, who lived for 930 years, has taught the subsequent generation the principle of sacrifice as a prefiguring, as a pre-shadowing of the cross of Christ. And he taught this all the way to Lamech. In case you don't know who Lamech is, he was Noah's father. 930 years. Noah lived for 600 years. And he taught this prefiguring of the cross and the sacrifice to the next generation, all the way to Abraham. As a matter of fact, when he came out of the ark, the first thing he did, offer a sacrifice. And I want you to remember this, that Abraham was 58 years old when Noah died. Did you get that? 58. I'm going to ask all the 58-year-olds, raise your hand now. But just think about this. He was 58. So all these 58 years growing up, knowing great-great-great-great-great-grandpa Noah, teaching him the prefiguring of the cross. Abraham, in obedience and faith, looked ahead 2,000 years down history, and he saw the day of Christ, and he rejoiced. That's what Jesus said. And when Isaac asked his father, Abraham, "Daddy, where is the sacrifice?" Abraham prophesied a word of prophecy about the cross, and he said, "God is going to provide himself as a sacrifice." And right on schedule, 2,000 years later, not far from Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered the ram that God provided, God provided himself in the person of his son to be the sacrifice, the only sacrifice acceptable to God. Isaac has never forgotten that God provided the ransom for his life. He taught it to his descendants as a prefiguring of the cross of Christ. His son Jacob learned this lesson, and he sacrificed in Shechem, and he called it El Elohim Israel. God is the God of Israel, or Jacob. Even after 400 years of slavery in Egypt, God has to reteach his descendants, the descendants of Israel, the descendants of Jacob, the importance of sacrifice as a prefiguring of the cross of Christ. And so God established Yom Kippur, and he established the Day of Atonement. He also established the Passover. And so for 1,400 years, until the Passover found its complete fulfillment. I'm going to tell you more about this and what Jesus said about himself and the Passover. He is the fulfillment, the complete and ultimate and final fulfillment of the Passover. Because he is the only one who can permanently, can you say that permanently? Remove sin and guilt. And that is why the cross of Christ is the only symbol that points us to where we can have our sins removed, the stain of sin, the guilt of sin, the punishment of sin, totally removed. And that cross has become the symbol of permanent freedom from sin and guilt. Amen. Passover stopped with Jesus' cross. Passover ended with the cross of Christ. Passover is finally fully fulfilled in the cross of Christ. I'll say this as I conclude. The Bible said in Proverbs 13:22 that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And I think we all want to leave something of heirlooms or some legacy to our children and children's children, for sure. Listen to me, I'm about to finish. There can be no greater legacy or inheritance that we can give our children and grandchildren more important than recognizing the enormity of sin and the awesomeness of the cross of Christ for removing that sin. I know the greatest legacy that I can leave to the next generation, not just my own generation, but the generation in the Church of Jesus Christ, is how to cling to the old rugged cross. The old rugged cross, despised by the world, has wondrous attraction to me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. Oh, that old rugged cross. To that old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he will call me home someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I will share. Beloved, it is a prayer of my heart that anyone at the sound of my voice would make this motto until you face Jesus, to be theirs until you face Jesus face to face.
Do you wonder about life after death or what it means to be saved? You are not alone. These are important questions, and we would love to help you answer them. At ltw.org/Jesus, you will find the path to true peace through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit and see a clear explanation of God's plan for salvation. Find resources to help you grow in your new faith or receive prayer and encouragement for any situation. Visit ltw.org/Jesus and start your journey to find true peace in Christ today. An important part of Leading the Way's mission to passionately proclaim uncompromising truth across the globe is our special satellite channel, the KingdomSat. Broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the KingdomSat is spreading the life-giving truth of the gospel to the world's most spiritually needy populations, covering hundreds of millions of homes across North Africa, the Middle East, and Southeast Asia. The KingdomSat is a major arm of Leading the Way's global ministry. A unique approach to Christian broadcasting, the KingdomSat fuses the best of both the West and the East. Alongside Dr. Yusuf, prominent speakers from the Western world have joined with indigenous partners in the region to create a fusion of programming that will speak truth to those most in need. Programming on the KingdomSat is diverse, covering topics like evangelism, apologetics, teaching, discipleship, Bible study, praise and worship, as well as programs specifically designed for children. The KingdomSat also features special live broadcasts, including live events from the Middle East region monthly. In addition to Leading the Way live broadcasts, with a dedication to accurate and digestible biblical teaching, the KingdomSat is a perfect platform to reach the lost in hard-to-reach countries, as well as for converts who are persecuted or new believers who don't have access to local churches for discipleship. The KingdomSat is not only a satellite channel. While it does cover millions of homes through its satellite broadcasts, it's also available across a host of digital platforms, including Apple TV, Roku, Amazon, IPTV, and social media. Through the KingdomSat, Leading the Way is reaching the hardest to reach places around the globe with the life-saving truth of Jesus. To find out more how you can get involved in the work Leading the Way is doing around the world, contact us today. Check out Leading the Way's smartphone app. With the Leading the Way app, you can watch recent episodes of Leading the Way, listen to sermon series, as well as read special daily devotionals written by Dr. Yusuf. You can even watch Leading the Way live events on your mobile device. Just search for Leading the Way on your Apple, Android, or Amazon Fire device to download the app today. Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Yusuf thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.